This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Sunday Night Show. After Birmingham, I couldn't resist. I'm really sorry, but listen, we don't own the copyright to that. That is Millwall and EFL. And if you're watching this now and you haven't seen something at the beginning, then that's because they've copyright strikes and I've taken it out, hence why it's at the beginning. But, you know, it's fair use, mate. It's 30 seconds. Get over yourself. Come on. Right then, we are joined by Negative Dan, Trainspotting Dan. Oh, I don't fucking know. It's new birthday, Dan. How you doing, Dan? You all right?
Yeah, I'm very good, mate. I'm very good. Yeah, I just wanted to say, firstly, good to be back on the lives. I don't think I've done one for a while, so I'm looking forward to getting the usual abuse from the listeners, but I'm glad you can all join us tonight to celebrate. Secondly, great to get the copyright strike out the way early doors. Usually we wait until the very end, so nice to get it done quite quickly. And thirdly, on the commentary, he says the Dockers go wild, the Colblow Lane goes wild. So I want anyone in the Barry kitchen to tell me, was you just in the library or something? I just need to know what was going on there.
It was done when it, you know. Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, we missed an opportunity there, didn't we, Connor, really? None of us, I think, have got a can of tango on the go, mate. But unfortunately, yeah, we missed one there. But, you know, anyone from Britfit want to get in touch, we're happy to do a sponsorship deal with us. So, yeah. Stephen, hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Very good. How are you?
Yeah, good. You all over your away day midweek with the likes of young Ben and Omar. Did you survive? We heard you drive a bit like Miss Daisy.
I mean, that's not strictly true. Omar's massively thrown me under the bus there. But no, it's good. Really good away day. Good to see Ben and obviously Omar. And obviously we'll move on to the game. But wasn't sure if it was a good point leaving the ground. But after leaving the ground yesterday, it certainly was.
Can I just say quickly, before we introduce our last guest, public apology to Steve and Ben and Omar, because I've assumed Ben was going to go, but I kind of talked Omar and Steven into going to the game just to not end up going myself. So
and buggering off abroad. Yeah,
pretty much. So public apology to them chaps.
OAP Lions, man and boy, have a great show. Cheers, Ken. And obviously, we are joined by the one and only newbie. I suppose now Dan's been upgraded. Now he's now a newbie. he's Jay. How you doing, Jay? You all right, fella?
Evening, chaps. All good, mate. All good. Another Sunday night live after a win, back to back home win. So yeah, good stuff.
That's it. Decided to feel it by a song after the game, "Walking on the Moon" by the Police. Yeah, Mary Omar said your driving was harder to watch than the game itself.
Yeah, I watch the show, guys. I do watch the show when I'm not on it, so I always support them. And I did hear it, and I thought, no, I'll let him have that. I'm not going to get involved, but not strictly true. But hey ho,
there we go. In it, so so 10 points out of 12, not bad.
I think we'll take that.
But, you know, it's like what we said, you know, regardless of what your thoughts are on nil, whether or not, you know, you think it's good or bad or whatever, the man definitely goes, he goes to war, doesn't he? When he wants to go to war, he goes to war. And he sees things and he just, you know, he wants to do, you know, different things and whatnot, because I don't think, realistically that the players where they are at the moment were been there with either Rowett or Edwards, to be fair.
I think just to start on that, if Joe Edwards was still the manager over these four games, we would have been 23rd in the league and staring down the barrel.
I think if he was, I probably would have already resigned myself to go into Northampton, Burton and Lincoln next season.
Absolutely. And I'm pro Neil Harris, or pro Neil Harris for this season at least. And I think if any manager in world football took a job and earned 10 points from their first 12 games, they'd be seen as a miracle worker. Everyone would be talking about how fantastic they are.
Say that again. Scored 10 points from their first 12 games.
Sorry, 10 points from available 12 points, right?
Sorry, pick me up earlier. Because I put something on YouTube earlier and he picked me up. And if you go back on YouTube, it looks as if he's talking bollocks, because obviously I've got the power of editing and he hasn't.
Anyway, 10 points from 12. Thanks, Mickey, interrupting the flow. They'd be lauded as it'd be a fantastic appointment. There's still people unhappy with him. And look, you know, we all know the score. We all know why he was brought in. And we all know that come the summer, it might be a different story. But right now, we needed points. We keep calling it cup finals. We keep saying the same thing each week. We've had four cup finals. We've won three of them. And we got a point from another. I don't think you can really ask for much more than that, personally.
No, I'll tell you one thing as well. I watched a bit of the Huddersfield West Brom game earlier today. And
what a goal.
Yeah, what a third goal. Great strike, wasn't it, from Okeye Koslu. So, you know, a bit scary. We've got to face West Brom. Obviously, Leeds and West Brom are our next two games, and a lot of things could change in our next two games, because they're two very tough games. Millwall will probably win there and then go and lose away at Rotherham.
The thing is, though, Dan, off the back of that, is that we've given ourselves some breathing room going into these two tough games now. Away to Leeds, the pressure is not alleviated because we're still in trouble, but we can have a bit more freedom now. We don't have to panic, and you know, and we can take a breather now. And you never know, we might go to Leeds and get something. You flip the form table on its head, we're right up the top there. We're like third in the league at the moment.
Yeah,
since Harry's come in.
That's what I was going to say, because on Sky Sports earlier, they put up the relegation graphic and they actually didn't put Millwall in it. So I do think it's still a little bit early to be counting chickens at the moment.
Watford can still technically, they're closer to the relegation zone than they are to the playoffs.
I still think we probably need
two wins and a couple of draws. Three wins would absolutely make sure for me, I think, to be completely honest.
I think I said two wins without return from Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday. I think we'd seen it. One of them wins being at Huddersfield. I think if we beat Huddersfield, you could probably lose and you could probably not have to win another game out of that, because that's obviously a game down for Huddersfield. That's an extra 3 points. That's essentially a 6-point swing with the games that we've got left. Yeah. So I'm with you. I think two wins will do it. I think it'll come. A
couple of draws in there as well.
We ain't gonna get 6 points and then not win a game or get a point. Yeah. You know, so it's. Yeah, and also, I'm quite confident.
I think just... Dan Riggs is on spice, mate. You see that comment there? Neil Harris is still registered. Hearing Neil Harris is still registered as a player. If safe by Plymouth, imagine he comes on for the last 10 minutes. Can you imagine if we were like get down to the last two games and there was still an off chance that we could get into the playoffs?
We might need him. We've got no strikers.
I think if there was a point where he was needed, it was when he was managing Gillingham at the start of last season. They scored like 7 goals in the first half of last season and he didn't chuck his boots on. So I don't think he's going to do it for us. I mean, it would obviously be funny if he did. So, but fantastic run of form, getting us back up, proving what I've kind of thought all along, to be honest, that this isn't a bad group of players. I think more than the quality, I think there's been big mentality kind of problems, and Harris has came in and kind of switched that mentality straight away, which is obviously what we needed.
No, exactly. Let's just come on to this comment, Danny. Danny, what we're saying is we don't not back Harris, right? Harris is great at motivation. He knows all the players and, you know, he knows the club inside out and all that. And going to war, there is no one better than having Neil in those trenches. But what we're saying is going forward, is Neil the man? And that's where we're saying right now, absolutely back him to the hill. But what I'm saying is that, you know, if he was here in 2 years' time, would it still, would, you know, would you back him for that? That's I think where we are. None of us are saying that. No, I just think it's, for a business point of view, fantastic. And what he's done, fantastic. And you can't take that away from him. And I wouldn't try to take any of it away from him. You know, what we say on these shows, we own, compared to some of the others who basically reckoned that Tandanga was going to be playing for Bromley next season. Well, you know, he don't seem that bad at the moment, does he?
listen, look, not being funny, but like you just said, we know the reason Neil was brought in. We can't look to the future as of yet. But Neil Harris, if he keeps us up, he ain't going to be short of suitors himself when with people out of jobs, let me tell you, because he has done a remarkable job. And the way he instills belief and the mentality, there is no one better. And as Dan just said, this ain't a bad group of players. You know, some of the players that we probably wouldn't want to play in the team under an Edwards or Rout or someone else, they're performing 110%. They're giving everything for the shirt. Why wouldn't you want these players around? And you can't grumble at the team selections. That, you know, that's a big debate with certain players not playing. But
I will grumble 10 points from 12. Later.
And I think I probably know who that is, but we if Harris is in charge for a reason, we're in the stands for a reason. And so far, all the complaining that a lot of the fans have done, us sometimes as well, myself included, we've got 10 points from 12 games. Who the fuck are we? Do you know what I mean? Let the man do his job. The man's here for one reason only. And if he does that job, fair play to him.
Listen, right, he's a manager of a football club, right? Steve Cavanagh is the CEO of the football club.
Head coach,
whatever you want to do. Thing. And listen, right, it's our God-given right to basically moan, groan, call it what it was. Because if we come on here every week with every manager we have, every person of staff within the thing, and go, they're the best! You know, our listed account would be going, because what's the point? We don't bullshit. We say how it is. And yeah, look, at the time, yes, Harris is good for business purposes, but in the development of taking the club forward, is he the right person? And I think the jury's out. Yes, he's doing well now, but he has to do well because he needs to go out there and prove a point. So, you know, right now, right this minute, fucking support him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, Rout was shit. Rout wasn't I think there was a comment there with it where, Rout, you know,
shit.
Where someone was saying there is that, right, all I was saying was, when I had that rant, was go out there and show what you're about. Because when you were playing under Edwards, when the players were playing under Edwards, whether that's Edwards didn't have enough to gee him up or the fact that they just didn't care what said afterwards, that Edwards didn't have no gumph about him to rip him a new arsehole afterwards, it was all nicely. Well, the difference is now that with Harris is that if you don't fucking do what he wants to do, then I wouldn't want to be on the end of that. If you come in and a few silly mistakes cost you a loss when you should have won, I wouldn't want to be in that dressing room. You'd rip you a new arsehole. It'd fucking absolutely terrorise you.
What I would say, though, and that's all well and good that Edwards might have been too nice, but I'll say it again and I'll continue to say it because it's what I believe. Joe Edwards was asking a bunch of footballers to play a style of football and a system of football they could not play. They were not good enough to play the way Joe Edwards wanted them to play. Neil Harris hasn't reinvented the wheel. He's taken us back to 4-4-2, which is what football was being played in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you name it.
4-2-3-1.
It's a variation of 4-4-2, let's be honest. Fleming pushes further forward. It's a flat back four and four in midfield, right? The two centre-halves don't... How many passes do they really play between each other? Yeah, there's a few, but they try to get rid of it quickly. They're not trying to play pretty tick-attack of Barcelona football. They're doing their jobs and they're grafting. Joe Edwards was trying to reinvent the wheel. He said he wasn't going to do that, and it got towards the end that he that's what he was trying to do. And another point on Harris, like you guys were talking about, you know, he was brought in and other clubs might be looking at him. Do you not think that Neil Harris just resonates with this football club?
He does. You heard other what jobs, he said after the game yesterday.
Other clubs might look at him, and other clubs might go, you know, he's done a really good job going in at Millwall, and he's, you know, he's got X amount of points, but he just gets the football club. He gets what it is. It's not, it's never, and it won't be a long-term solution. But what we needed right now, we got in abundance.
Mike's got a good point there. He could turn up in a black turtleneck jumper and people would say he's not Pep. And then why don't we just get Pep? You know, look, at the end of the day, Edwards was the right manager to take us forward, but at the wrong time.
I do disagree with that statement personally. I just don't think the bloke was good enough. And I think the stats back it up regardless. Even if you can say, I think he was at the wrong time.
If we come in, right, if we come in with our youth set up, the new training facility, everything all ready to go, and we had a good youth prospects coming through, I know we've got now, but I mean, we do. Under a proper development system, what we'll have at the new training ground, Andy got a bit of money in the kitty, Andy come in earlier than where he did, I think things would be different.
Things might have been different, but I just don't see the hype. I called Joe out on it the other week when I did a show with Joe, and Joe was like, can we get Edwards back in the summer? I was like, no, I don't want to get Edwards back. I just don't see what people are seeing in him other than the fact he's young and English.
I agree with a statement in terms of the type of manager that we should be looking at. He's the right type of manager, young, upcoming, lots of, you know, ideas. Little bit of a black book, you know, he's been around and coached a bit and wants to take us into this progressive modern day football at the wrong time. So I agree with the whole premise of that type of manager, a Joe Edwards outline as such. Was Joe Edwards the actual guy?
No.
At the wrong time? He hasn't had a managerial job before, a very good coach by all accounts, but we can't definitively make any sort of judgment on that because he's got the worst managerial record I think I've seen ever. I think Steve Claridge is the only person at Millwall who had a worse record than him, and he lasted 24 hours. So, yeah, you know, Joe Edwards, the person, might maybe not, but Joe Edwards, the outliner of what we should be looking at, 100%.
Do you know what? What Hughes said there is it. Someone on Twitter asked, what's easier, getting Harris to change style or finding a good coach and getting them to get Millwall? I think the problem is that there's been plenty of managers over the years all come in, sat down and done that same thing of, oh, I get Millwall and I get like, and none of them ever have.
No.
You know, they're probably the closest one who possibly sort of understood it might have been Steve Lomas because of obviously, you know, where he come from and stuff. But, you know, that was never going to work out. But, you know, Ian Holloway, it didn't. It was all motivational bullshit with all the signs all over the dressing room and all that. I mean, Kenny Jackett maybe was probably the last one apart from Neil.
Yeah, I'd say Kenny Jackett.
But let's not take the credit away from Gary Rowett. I mean, Gary Rowett was a good manager for Millwall.
He was a good manager, yeah. He never really got us properly, did he? No, he showed signs, never really understood us.
That but man stabilised us. And
I was about to say, I couldn't sit here and say he was a bad manager for us. I just think, essentially, he ran out of road. And, you know, there's absolutely no shame in admitting that whatsoever.
No, I totally agree.
After we got promoted, Harris couldn't get us near the playoffs. So why do we think
he can now?
Sorry, the thing where I think when he did for a couple of years, but he couldn't get us to the playoff for the Prem. I mean,
yeah.
Is that, and I think a lot of that was is that the investment wasn't necessarily there to be put into the team. We needed to have a big £10 million investment to give him a good push because it was at the time when Morrison's legs were going. You know, Gregory wasn't exactly, you know, the leading. We got rid of Saville. Jed was, you know, back on his own again and stuff. And I think, you know, there was a few different things there. But right now, it's the right time, right place, isn't it, really? The crowd want him. The board needed him. And he's doing what he needs to do. He's pretty much got a free rein to do whatever he wants.
The thing is, though, it's win-lose.
No one fucking cares. If he keeps us away from that bottom three, then, you know what? Come the end of season dinner, mate, that cunt could walk on water.
Yeah, he can. But the thing is that his record at the Den is fantastic. And we did sniff the playoffs in the Championship with New Harris. When we come up, you know, we only missed out, I think it was two games away. We were sitting in sixth place.
Needed to beat Fulham.
Needed to beat Fulham. But we went on some mad... Yeah, we went on some mad unbeaten run. We were like 16 games unbeaten. We
had
like
nine, 17 games.
17 was it? And then we had like 9 clean sheets consecutive, I think it was. We was like FA Cup quarterfinals. Like Harris has, you know, we was not far away. Maybe with a better investment, and if Harris was a little bit more seasoned and made some better decisions, maybe in game subs, maybe, you know, a bit of management with some injuries and so on, we might have done. Harris is a different manager now. He's not able to deploy and show us how different he is because of the situation we're in. This is just get us up. So it's back against the wall, 10 men behind the ball, and we're going to hit you on the counter. But would Harry? It might be different if Harris was in charge at the start of the season. It might be different the start of next season because we don't actually know how he's evolved as a manager. We know that Cambridge are very upset that he left. We know Gillingham were as well, and he'd started to do good things there. So I don't think we can definitively say that Harris is not the guy to take us forward. He's still young and he might have evolved, but we do need to go in that direction, whether it's with Harris or not. Harris would need to lay out a game plan or a progression plan to the powers to be and see if they buy it or not. But yeah, to say that Harris is totally not, just definitively not the person to take us forward, I think is a bit premature, to be honest.
Harris did get Cardiff in the playoffs with good investment.
That's what I'm saying.
Can I come in?
Yeah,
Dan, can you tell people to press the like button for me, mate?
Yeah, everyone press the like button, please, to celebrate 10 points from 12, to celebrate me being back and to celebrate it going into March, which means Stephen will be wearing shorts again soon.
That's three things. That's a like, share, and a subscribe.
And to celebrate Mickey. I think he's just got through to the European Tour Darts final tonight.
Rob Cross, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've got Littler in the final, I believe, mate.
We're not starting. Yeah, we can't open that can of worms tonight.
I weren't here, mate. I weren't here last time, so I'm happy, mate.
So can I just come in quickly? It's just I'm just going to pull up on a couple of the comments that you've previously put up, Mickey. I'm just going to flash them back up on the screen quickly, mate, so you might lose wherever you are, so apologies. But I just want to say, I do agree with this comment here from John, saying the one big drawback of Harris is saying he has no pulling powers. Players don't want to send their clubs don't want to send their players on loan. I think that's kind of true when you look at, like, Norton Cuffey hasn't had a start yet under Harris. You've got young players like SA and Mayer who haven't seen much game time on the pitch. And Mackie got 45 minutes. He might have got more, might have been down to the injury. That's one thing that I might give Edwards for in terms of the Black Book, because I don't think we would have got players like Tanganga and Obafemi on loan. But again, I'm going to finish it up with one comment here. The problem is, I think if you leave Alex, I just don't trust Alex Aldridge in terms of recruitment. I think he's had a couple of transfer windows to try and prove himself, and I've been pretty underwhelmed with most of the signings that have been through the door.
So but Neil Harris will not put up with his shit. He will tell Neil Harris will. You see, the difference is that Neil Harris will probably tell Aldo who he wants, as in the other managers probably would sort of more invoke. That's what I'm saying. I think Harris has come in and he knows how the club runs. Most of the people in senior positions have been here the last time he was here and been here for years. So he knows everyone and he's just literally can pretty much get away with what he can. So, yeah, Dan's right. Dan Riggs is right. Didn't Mickey say a few weeks ago, bring back fight, heart and fire and that will win you games? And I did get shot down to a degree. Some people agreed with what I said and done. And that's pretty much all. That's the only difference, really, what we've done is that Harris has come in and put a firework up and said,
no, go out there and figure, mate. That's not the only difference, mate. It's not. We're not playing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
With the player. So if you disagree with Mickey, you get kicked off the stage. Is that how it is, mate? Is that this dictatorship that we're
Is it a dictatorship? Should we go back to Friday? Do you want me to start playing clips from Friday, Stephen?
Mate, all I'm saying is that if you can't just sit there. You cannot sit there and say that the only thing that we have done is Harris giving them a rocket. You cannot say that. I'm sorry, but that's not right.
Do you think right now, on Saturday's game, you think that the players are playing with something about them now? Do you think they actually want to play at the minute?
Yes, but they're also doing jobs that they can do. It's not just about someone going in there and giving them a bollocking.
This is talking bullshit, right? Because it is. You're a football player. You're getting paid anything from 5, 10, 15 grand a week, right? And if you're a defender, anywhere in that defensive lineup, you should be able to play. If you're an attack, anywhere in that attacking lineup, you should play. And if you're a midfielder, anywhere within that middle, you know, you should be able to play. Unless you're a utility player who can play in a various couple of positions. You're taking money week in, week out, right? And if you can't do that job when you're asked to be called upon to do it, then there's got to be an issue there.
No, there's not. There's not, though, is there? No, there's not. They've been coached for 4 years to play a certain style of football, and someone comes in and within 2 months he's trying to get them to play football like Man City. Sorry, mate. You can't do that. You just can't do that. Let me ask you this way. Would Pep Guardiola look at that and go, oh, let's take Jake Cooper and put him in the back of Manchester City's defence? Not a chance. Not a chance, because he cannot do what he would want him to do. It's got nothing to do with heart and spirit. It's because he's not good enough to play the style of football that Guardiola wants him to play.
Good evening, chaps. Hope you're well, mate. Hope you're well, fella.
Now, hold on. Answer the question. Would Pep Guardiola take Jake Cooper? He can play in defence.
He wouldn't take him. He's a centre-back. Fucking team.
Exactly, because they cannot play the football that he wants them to play, which is what Joe Edwards was asking them to do. Listen, you've just answered it again.
Mate, and sit back.
Man City...
Yeah, I'm enjoying this, mate.
Man City is a Premiership team. We play players earning...
All right, Leicester.
Leicester, again, is Premiership.
Ipswich. No, all right, Ipswich. Well, actually, Leicester are in the championship. Ipswich, Leicester, Leeds. None of them would take them to play the football that they want to play.
Because
they wouldn't do it.
Good enough to play in that team.
Yeah, exactly. But when you ask them to do the basics of football, they look better.
Yeah, probably would.
Yeah, they probably would.
Would they do it in Sheffield Wednesday? Yeah, probably would, light for light. But they're still gaining 15 grand, 10, 15 grand a week.
15 grand a week don't make you play better football. It don't. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. Man City would pay Jake Cooper 60 grand a week. It ain't going to turn him into like Maldini or Nesta, is it?
I think the point of it is that if you can't put a jockey on a donkey and expect him to win the Grand National, can you?
Thank you. That's exactly it.
I think that's what it is more to the point. And I think Harris has come in and he has given a rookie up his ass. Yeah, Mick, 100%, you are right. But also he has looked at these players and gone, what is it that you do to the best of your ability? What are you comfortable with? And what situations can I put you in that will get the best out of you? And Harris has done that. And albeit it might be very basic stuff, might be very basic football, clear your lines, you know, be resolute in your defending, be disciplined. It might be basic stuff, but it's a smart way to manage players who cannot do what the previous regime asked them to do. Now, Rowett was very shrewd with that. Rowett had his plan very resolute for years, and it worked for years, and it was very good. And that was with a very similar Harris-type player, because let's not forget, most of these players, Harris signed them.
Yeah,
Harris signed them, and they played in Harris's system.
100%. Look, Tony says that, look, you know, the massive elephant in the room is Harris has gone back to the back four. Yeah, no, totally agree. And when Rowett went back to the back four, it started getting fucking things. The players were playing. And then everyone starts trying to say, you had Rowett come out on shows saying, you know, listen, I get to choose what the fucking team layout is. And, you know, we do this in back four, we get this. And we do this in back five and we get this, blah, blah, blah. But the players should still be able to fucking have something about them to be able to fucking stop a ball going past them. It's as simple. Take away all the fucking, oh, well, you can't play in centre. You know, you can't play in that centre position because you're left or whatever. There's still the process is your job is to make sure that that fella don't get past you. And if he gets past you, then you're doing shit. Yeah. Do you know
the
what I mean?
The thing is that we all know Joe. We all know Joe Edwards.
If we played five aside and we played in a team and all four of us are in defence, our job is to stop the ball
that's
getting past us.
Some back four, to be fair. Some back four.
Do you know what I mean?
They just look at us and just turn the other way and kick it in the right net.
That's your job, isn't it? Your job as a striker is to put things in the gut, put balls in the net, right? And right now, the people up there ain't fucking doing that job. But the people at the back four need to stop the ball going in. And that's it. And have a keeper what can actually save. And at the moment, our keeper's not too bad, is he? He's being able to save. Yes. And what's the difference? What's the difference in the keeper then? Because the keeper ain't playing out of position, is he?
It's just confidence. Steven. It's confidence.
No, you're not allowed to say confidence because that's Mickey don't believe in that.
No, it is.
Well, you're about
confident. The players are confident in playing the system. They weren't confident playing the system. Sarkic had no trust in Cooper with the ball at his feet. He had no trust in the players in front of him. Now he does because it's a comfortable way of playing. He's even come out and said it. Simplify my job. That's what Harris has done.
And he looks a different keeper. Let's be honest. Joe Edwards did his team talks using ChatGPT, whatever it's fucking called. We all know that. There was that graphic that we put up when Harris came in. And it was a carbon copy. Neil Harris is a very hands-on, very, you know, he's like a public speaker type guy. You know, people would stand on the street corner and listen to him talk. Joe Edwards, you'd switch off straight away. And I bet these players did. I bet even the game plans didn't register with the players. But Harris installs it. And if you don't start, if you don't do it, you're done. Danny McNamara made one mistake in three games under Harris. One before Harris and two Harris. He made one mistake. That was it.
Oh, look, for Brian. Right there you go.
He won't. Right on cue, Daily Mirror. But it just shows that although it's very basic, Harris still expects extremely high levels when you play in this type of system. And it works. And the players are on edge, but they're confident with it.
Yeah, but they're playing now for the badge. They're playing now. They're giving their heart and soul on that pitch. As in, under towards the end of Rat, they weren't. Look at Blackburn when we played Blackburn last game of the season. If they had the same fucking nous about them, they would have fucking grinded that game out, but they didn't. And under Edwards, they didn't have that. You know, it was as if they, we're not going.
But if the club had any ounce about them, we would have saw the hindsight and seen the light, and we would have ripped it up. As soon as the game ended after Blackburn, we would have started the teardown and the rebuild. Then
I just think it's all madness, right? I can understand, right? If you were going, well, the players aren't good enough. If you're playing lower league football, okay, yeah. But these aren't guys what have just come into football. These are guys what are established pros, right? And I don't understand how you can be shit for so many weeks, and then all of a sudden, not shit. To me, there's a level there of, you know, I think Edwards lost the dressing room, and they just didn't do it. Because at the end of the day, your manager's on the fucking changing on the line, yeah, and next to the dugout. If you don't like what he's telling you to do, and you know that it ain't working, you fucking change yourself around a bit. Regardless, if you get fucking ripped apart, but if you get a result and then get ripped apart, who cares?
Yeah, but we've seen we saw Edwards during the games when things weren't working. No animation, no character about him just sitting down. Whereas Harris, he doesn't sit down. He's up there.
Did you see the bollocking he gave to Longman yesterday?
That's what I'm saying. He's on it. He's up at the sideline. He's telling them, keep your mentality. Like the players at the moment have got no room for error. They know that the manager is standing there on the sidelines, breathing down their neck, shouting instructions at them all game. Whereas Edwards was, go on, do your thing, and I'll talk to you at half time.
My prime example would be this, right? If us four of us went for a FIFA coaching badge now, right? Most of us might think we know a bit about football, right? You boys might think you know more about football and all this, but I guarantee that if we're in the room with four professional players playing in the championship, we use it in the championship, they will know the game inside out better than us, right? So, you know, they don't need the same level of coaching as what we would. They have to fucking be able to look at themselves in the mirror. And I guarantee Neil's gone in there and gone, you're professional football players. What are you doing? You're looking like cunts out there. Just fucking go out there and do what you get paid to do.
I reckon he's done it in a slightly nicer way than that, to be honest. I reckon he did it in a slightly more encouraging way than that.
Yeah. Maybe go and take a look at yourself in the mirror type of...
This is the fucking den, yeah? We don't part with that bollocks. And if that's the way you want to play, there's the fucking...
Even like Luke said,
can I just come in there? Why aren't we playing that from the back now under Harris? Mickey?
We can't.
Why aren't we playing that from the back?
Because the players at the back aren't great to fucking put forward. And also, Harris football's always been about lump it up.
So the players aren't good enough to play it out from the back is what you're saying?
Stephen, right? Listen, right?
Mate, I'm not disputing the mentality thing. No, I'm not disputing the mentality thing. But you cannot just sit there and say it's all to do with mentality. Because
I'm not saying that at all. I've not said that at all.
You've not said once about the style of football. It's all about giving them a rocket, telling them to take
Neil's
a look at
come
themselves.
In, changed how he wants to play. Blakey's gone back to fucking simplified fucking football.
Harris because that's in, what we're good at.
Okay, you've had your point. Now my turn, yeah? Harris has come in and done what he's
mate,
done.
Don't start that. Don't
but
start that.
You what I'm saying, right? Don't fucking give it all the big one. And let me say what's what. Let me say what I'm saying to you, yeah? Is that the players now... They're the same players what are there, regardless of the system they're playing, right? 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, they were fucked after 30 minutes, mate. They looked and blowing out their arses. They're not necessarily. They wouldn't have given any of that fight in the last four games what we had 6-8 weeks ago. Even go back to when Rout was there, we didn't have that much fight. When we scored a goal, they scored a goal, their heads dropped everything. Do you know what? If they score a goal now, the opposition scores a goal now, they will go, do you know what? We can still win this. We can still go because the mentality under Neil has put it back in them. They understand. They like that feel with the crowd. They like the fucking buzz. It's not all about, oh, well, he's changed the formation, because at the end of the day, if the players were shit and he changed the formation, they still wouldn't be able to fucking play. It's a lot of things added into one what's suddenly now giving us results. The fact that Neil's fucking given them, you know, a pep talk and fucking on them and make sure that, you know, they know what it means playing for that badge. As in, the other two managers didn't fucking tell them what it's about. And now they're going out there and leaving everything on the pitch because they are. Look at Joe Bryan. Joe Bryan, we've taken the piss out of him. You've taken the piss out of him for weeks on end about his fucking, the cunts looking for a Costa deal and everything else. Yesterday's game, he looked fucking completely different player.
Do you know why I think that was? I think it's because he probably thought when he was fit, he was guaranteed the spot in the starting 11. And then all of a sudden, Harris has came in, hasn't picked him as his first choice. He's gone with Danny. It's given him a little bit of a kick up the arse, which is what he probably needed.
Exactly. I totally agree with that.
And that's the thing is, unfortunately, Edwards would never have just dropped him. Most of the time, there were senior players in there.
The thing is as well, right, is that it's now confirmed that it was purely an effort level and not a fitness level with these players, because this has been the same team roughly, barring one or two, that has played four games under Harris now. And in every single game, I'll be honest, on Saturday, I was quite worried with Saville playing three games in a week, you know, the same midfield, same back four, Obafemi. And they looked really fit for the first 40 minutes of that game. We looked really fit. We was chasing everything down. So it's clear to me now and confirm that under Edwards, it was just pure effort level. It weren't fitness. It weren't that the guys were tired or we had issues.
They didn't want to play for him.
They just didn't want to play for him because under Edwards, the fitness levels look great. They look great. They look hungry and fit.
Whoever that is, watch Wally, turns around and says, Harris has created a unit. And that's it. He's basically, he's reinvigorated what it means to play for Millwall. And that's it. You know, what you do is you go out there, it doesn't matter if we get beat 4-0. As long as you go out there and give 130% on that pitch and leave everything on that pitch, then they will back you. And it's what we said. You know, if you go out there and even, you know, just give it on the pitch, regardless if you lose fucking 4-0, the fans will back you. And they have. As soon as you've seen that different level, you've done it. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, he don't want passengers. He just wants soldiers. He wants people who are going to go out there and fucking give, you know, life and death for their thing. Same as the fans. Life and death for the thingy. And Chris Brown, by the way, Steve ain't getting thingy, mate. That's what you lot tune in for, mate. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, mate, you lot tune in for the banter, mate. We're good as gold. There's no dramas there, mate. Do you know what I mean? It is what it is. But, you know, after Friday, mate, there will be revenge towards the end of the show. So don't panic. The two on this show today stitched me right, not Friday, last Sunday, wasn't it? I think it was. Stitched me up. So, yeah.
Hang on a minute now. Now, you was in the chat. Dropping your fair share, Stephen, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
He was dropping your fair share as well. So you weren't so distant from it as you say you was, Mickey.
No.
And then we all got our little responses on Twitter.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah. I did share those for you.
Yeah.
But look, it is what it is. So look, at the end of the day, we're all Millwall, right? And I think what it is, look, my football knowledge ain't as good as yours, and I couldn't give a fuck if it was. I go to watch fucking them give heart and soul and win. I couldn't give a fuck if it's back three, back four, back fucking 12, mate. As long as they put the ball in the opposition's net, that's what it's all about. But there is a different person now in each and every one of them than what there was there before. Because, yes, you know, with how Edwards was talking, how Edwards done his post-match, everything else about it, you could see that there was professional players who were like, who are you? I mean, can you imagine that? The conversation, what potentially could have come back to Edwards is going, well, what have you done? What's your football career? You ain't got one. You imagine one of them turn around to Neil and going, what's your football career? And they go, I'll tell you what my football career is. Go upstairs and look on the wall, who's the fucking leading goal scorer? That'd be fucking me. What else you got to say? And that's it. That's the difference. He is Millwall through and through. Do you know what I mean? He is a Millwall legend, a Millwall through and through. And that's the difference. He can tell them what he expects because he has done it. He has done it on the pitch, mate. And that's the difference. And not one of them can question that. And everything he's told them has all been proven. In the last three, four games, everything he told them would happen has happened. Even that 90-minute, you know, Tandanga scoring the 90th-minute header, mate. Even though, I think, you know, Birmingham are crying, mate, over a penalty what wasn't a penalty. But, you know, at the end of the
day... We have one of them every game.
And have you seen it? Because I don't know what they're looking at. That's not a penalty. Jake Cooper literally gets UFC'd every single week. We had countless... The referee, and I want to talk about the referee, and we might talk about it a bit later, but the referee was one of the worst I've ever seen down the den. It was everything, every time that ball went into the box, it was somehow foul. The keeper was always fouled. Every time there was a challenge over the halfway, it was always a foul. But when it's on us, it's never a foul.
I didn't think first half the referee was too bad, but second half, he just didn't let anything go whatsoever.
It was shocking. It's diabolical. They did everything they could to not let Millwall win that game. And we Millwalled it in the 90th minute, like in typical Millwall fashion. And just like Southampton, just like Watford, the Birmingham fans are in full-scale meltdown mode. I've not seen any... I don't understand the what Harris does to these teams, to these managers. He makes them implode from the inside out. Do you remember the Mars Attacks where just looking and the heads just explode? That's Neil Harris. For some reason, he gets so far under their skin, not for his words, but just from how we play. Because it must be, if I was a manager going up against Neil Harris and I lost that game 1-0, the frustration would send me to the point of fucking no return.
Imagine when he used to have like Morrison and fucking Gregory and all that. I mean, Morrison was one of the top fucking shithouse players there's ever been, mate. With him and Neil Harris, mate, you weren't going to get nothing, were you?
That's right. And so add Savile in there.
Go on, Stephen. Off you go, fella.
Do you not think with Harris as well, the fact that it's not just the fact that the managers get the ump with it, it's Harris. It's the fact that Southampton, I think Watford, not so much Blackburn because there was hardly any of us there, but yesterday, fans are going on Twitter and are complaining about the mere chant. They're constantly the opposition fans Birmingham are complaining about it. So that people and they're deleting their there was a Birmingham fan who deleted their tweet about it because they got so much abuse and stick about it. It's the fact that Harris has brought the fans back into play.
Made us horrible bastards again.
Yeah, Rowett always said that, you know, he playing at the Den, he felt like, I think the quote was, he felt he'd been cheated as Millwall manager during COVID because he didn't have the supporters. But when he did get the supporters, he didn't utilise us the way that he should have. Yeah. Joe Edwards, there was that bounce at the start where you win the first game. But again, he didn't really bring us into play because it wasn't the Millwall way. All Harris has come in and done from a fan's point of view. He's got us involved. He's got us involved for Southampton, say Watford, and yesterday. And opposition fans and players alike must be thinking, this is a different Millwall than that turned up at St Andrews at the beginning of the season, or it's a different Millwall. Admittedly, at Watford, we had a good following there. It's a different aspect, a different prospect facing us now because the crowd are behind them.
We got a troll, by the way.
Yeah, we've got a fan.
It's because
Adrian Patrick, what team do you reckon Patrick follows?
Could be Birmingham.
Could be Birmingham, couldn't it?
Yeah, I don't reckon he follows.
Are you upset, Patrick, because you didn't get the penalty? Or are you upset that you had a long journey home without a win?
I think the fact that confused more than anything.
Or was it the fact that, you know, maybe Rooney shagged you then?
The thing is, well, I want to touch on what Stephen just said, is that in any work, in any job that we do, or, you know, in anything you enjoy, you look for who the leader is and you look for people to lead you.
Hello, Annabelle.
The fans are looking at Joe Edwards sitting down when we've just gone 2-1 down after being 1-0 up, and we're looking at him for a response to get into these players, to get the crowd involved, to show us that he wants to get this going. Now, when you see that, the fans go, well, if he don't give a fuck, obviously it's not going to happen. But when you see Harris on the sideline for 90 minutes screaming at his players, and I noticed it a lot against Birmingham, that soon as there was a delay in the game or it went out, you know, someone went down, Harris is dragging people over. He's screaming at people, come over here. He's talking to him. He's got Livermore literally by the top of his neck, and he's dragging him up to the sideline and he's talking to him. And when you see that and you see the man in charge leading from the front like that, as you would in the battlefield, the soldiers follow. And that's what the fans are doing. We're feeding off of Neil's energy, and the players are feeding off our energy. It's, you need them three in sync to have any success. The fans need to back the manager, and the players feed off of it. And at the moment, it's just this recipe of I can't see us getting beat, and that's crazy because I expect to get beat at Leeds. But with how it's going at the moment, It's just the perfect situation for us at the moment, at the right time as well.
I'm going to attack here.
Dan.
I haven't said anything for about 20 minutes.
You don't need to say, right? The problem is, Dan, right, is that people can see that you're on your phone, and they think that you're just using your phone for Tinder, mate.
How we got our first follower. He's like, quick, look, I'm on the podcast. Come and check out my podcast. And
Annabelle. I'm loving this. Look.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.